Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, stream us online weekdays at 9 a.m. Central. To add your voice to our discussions, give us a call at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at KERRIMPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
I'm Kerri Miller. This is NPR News. This hour, does Facebook get it? As you heard Phil Picardi reporting, CEO Mark Zuckerberg will testify before Congress on April 11th, and he'll be asked about settings and privacy and data and revenue, and maybe he'll say all of the right things to members of Congress to quell this push for tighter regulation. But is he truly willing to go beyond cosmetic changes to address real problems with the way Facebook works? Two guests to talk about that. Your thoughts are pretty important here, too. If you're a Facebook user, I wonder if you've factored in all of the risks and you've decided they're still worth the reward of being on Facebook. How do you think the company could be more socially responsible? I mean, if Facebook is going to change, they have to hear from their users as well, not just members of Congress. So I'd like to know how you think the company could be more socially responsible and whether you've been assessing the risks and these issues around privacy as being a part of Facebook. Here's the number, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter, at KerriMPR. Our guest today, Haley Tsukuyama, is with us. She covers technology for The Washington Post, and she's with us from D.C. And Haley, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Feldman is here. He's an associate editor at New York Magazine and with us from New York. And Brian, welcome to you. Good to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Haley, can I ask you if you think that most Facebook users had long since, you know, decided that the benefits outweighed the risks, even though they're being confronted, I guess, with a more explicit idea of what those risks are? I mean, have they made that assessment already?
Well, I think many of them had made an assessment for themselves. You know, I think we all see those ads. I think we all have a fairly good understanding of the information that we know we're sharing with Facebook. But I think what this sort of the Cambridge Analytica story has exposed is that we don't always know, you know, we know how that data is being shared with Facebook. We don't always know how it's being shared in the wider world. And so I think a lot of people now, even though they kind of had made, kind of resigned themselves to this data relationship, are now seeing, well, but there's a whole other context to it. And I think that is what is making some people reevaluate.
Okay, so Brian, I mean, does that really change, though, your own personal risk assessment? Yes, I'm alarmed by what's happening, you know, with this Cambridge Analytica thing. But you know what? I didn't trust Facebook or social media companies anyway. And a lot of polls tell us that. I wonder if this really changes the equation in your own personal risk assessment of Facebook.
Personally, it doesn't change much for me because I'm paranoid. But I think
yeah.
for the average user, I think, you know, as Haley said, they knew they were giving Facebook data, but they didn't know who Facebook was sharing that with, who Facebook was giving that access to. And I think that has been sort of brought into the limelight.
When you say you're paranoid just about social media companies or in general?
When I do things online, I generally tend to assume that more people are seeing it than I am actually aware of. But, you know, that's not how most people use the internet, nor is it how they should.
Haley, for your own use of social media and Facebook, would you describe your approach as cautious as Brian's?
Yes, certainly. You know, I think especially, you know, as a journalist, you know, I'm very, very careful about what I say and you know, what I do put up. I'm just like Brian. I kind of assume everything I put up is public, even if it's set to private.
Wow. So how does that change the way you interact with people online?
It means that if I have something really important to say, a lot of times I'll call them or send them an email rather than reach out to them over social media.
I think both of your examples are, we should listen to this pretty closely because you know the internet and you know social media in a way that most of us don't. I mean, Brian, are you extremely cautious about how you'll communicate, you know, even with close friends in somewhat of a like a closed kind of discussion on a platform like Facebook?
I don't know if I would say cautious is the right word.
Okay.
I would just sort of say I've become resigned to what these platforms do and how they use that data. In a perfect world, would I rather not have, those communications and activities analyzed and fed into a database? Yeah, but, the convenience often outweighs the risk.
What are you worried about that Facebook's actually doing with your own data and those conversations?
A lot of it's a black box. People have had things show up in their news feed, sponsored post ads, things like that, that, they can't necessarily explain. They're not sure what signal they gave that said, oh, I'm the target for this type of ad. And I think that that sort of thing has a lot of people worried. It's the sort of unknowable calculations that Facebook is making behind the scenes about their behavior and then offering that up to advertisers.
Yeah. Haley, Mark Zuckerberg wrote this long post in mid-March to say that Facebook would, quote, step up and they would address these breaches of data and they were committed to restoring trust in the company. But I have since then heard numerous analysts, including former Federal Trade Commissioner Tim Wu, say that Facebook is really adept at making you believe you're in charge of your privacy when you're not. In fact, he uses the example of those privacy buttons as basically being fake. They're just there to inspire a trust that you really shouldn't feel about your privacy settings. What's your take on that?
I think there is some validity to that criticism. Facebook has done a lot of privacy setting redesigns. They've given people a lot of options that I think, are not fully explained. And so it kind of gives you when you open your settings, you say, okay, well, I have all these things that I could click or unclick, and it gives sort of the illusion of privacy. But when it comes down to it, they are in the business of your data and I think are not transparent about where that data goes, or as Brian was saying, just sort of not even why you may be served a certain ad. There are ways that you can look for, explanations of why you're seeing an ad, but they're not very satisfactory.
So, Brian, I mean, when you are, let's say you're changing the settings, the privacy mm-hmm. settings for Facebook, and I gather that they say they're going to put these all in one place now, and you're not have to go to 20 different places to do it. Are you really, when you're doing something with the privacy settings, are you really altering the way Facebook will use your data?
I think you are. I think the problem is that that's putting the onus on the user. Facebook has for a long time been sort of a tangled nest of privacy controls that users don't really understand and don't have the patience or the time to figure out. And so, they can simplify it as much as they want, but at the end of the day, saying that it's sort of implying that it's the user's fault if they don't change that. And
true.
I think that's a bad approach.
Okay, but I guess what I'm asking, though, is if you manage to go through that tangled mess that you just described and you alter your privacy settings, are you stopping Facebook from doing something specific with your data? Because, Tim Wu says, not really.
I think those settings are very carefully phrased. So I think that if you make the change, it will change a setting and Facebook will respond accordingly. But you have to really think about the language of what they're saying. They don't want to be regulated, so they don't want to mislead users or lie to them, but they will be very exact in the changes that you make.
Call here from Kathy in Elk River. Hi, Kathy. What's your question about when it comes to privacy?
My question has to do with apps, game apps specifically, and how much more vulnerable you are to privacy issues when you sign up for games, your game apps through Facebook, because you're asked to do that all the time.
Yeah.
And how much of that issue is a problem with this privacy issue?
Okay. So, Haley, how about signing up for games or apps through Facebook? Does that change what happens with your data or expose you more, I guess?
So it depends a little bit on the app and the, you know, when you do sign up through Facebook, there should be a pop-up screen that kind of tells you what information you're sharing. You know, generally it is your name. Often they do ask for your friends list. So, you know, that's something to consider. Some apps let you deselect certain parts of data that you share, others don't. I mean, again, getting to the complexity issue, I think, you know, once that pop-up screen comes up, most of us just hit accept, but there are some options. But you are, you know, anytime you do that, you are sharing some information with that game maker.
Hmm. Here's somebody on Twitter who says, I just assume that any personal information I give any business is sold or data mined, whether online or by in-person retail charge card applications, loan applications, and independent surveys. To think otherwise is foolish. I mean, Brian, is that right, that Facebook really isn't doing anything that a lot of other organizations that get your data aren't doing? It's just Facebook is such a powerful player in this.
Yeah, I think that sentiment is right. And the difference with Facebook is actually that they don't really give your data out to people without your permission as much as they just sort of let people utilize it for their advertising. Other companies.
Wait. What is it? What's the difference?
So, you know, when people say, when people have this idea that selling your data means I'm giving you, you know, a giant spreadsheet, that you can do whatever with. And the way Facebook really works is they let people say, I would like to target people in, you know, between 30 and 40 or who live in New York. But they don't really give that out. They just let you sort of enter the parameters for what you would like to target.
But figuring that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's a distinction. But, you know, to the average person, it's not a particularly important one. But other firms are in the business of collecting your data and actually selling it and transferring it to other people. And there are hundreds of them.
I mean, Haley, isn't Facebook's whole reason for being to collect this data and, you know, and use it and sell it? I mean, I know they say, I know what Mark Zuckerberg says about the reason that he created it, but at this point, isn't it all about the data? Haley, are you there? Oh, we might have lost her line. Brian, did you hear the question?
I am.
Oh, there you are. Okay, good.
I am. Sorry
about
that.
Okay, you heard the question.
I did, yeah. I mean, I would say, as you know, people at Facebook would certainly say their goal is still to connect the world, but certainly the way that they make their money is through data and through advertising. And so, you know, it's sort of a question of what is a business's purpose? Is it how it makes its money, or, you know, sort of the reason that it does that?
But I mean, and I've quoted Tim Wu a couple times, and I have another comment here from him where he talks about this idea of privacy really being antithetical to what Facebook is about. Listen to what he said on that.
The fact is that privacy, it's like kryptonite to their business model. You know, they have to be able to promise their advertisers that they have the goods on everyone and they have the power to manipulate people. And so if they are also extremely tight on privacy, that tends to throw a wrench into the machine.
So privacy is kryptonite, Brian. Agree with that or not?
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Facebook's business model, as you said, is based on collecting as much information about you as possible so that advertisers can use it to target you. But if they were to, you know, step up privacy and step up who can access what data or even just collect less data on you, that makes their targeting system less efficient and less effective. And no advertiser wants that.
Okay, so given that, do you think, Brian, that Facebook, I mean, they're straddling kind of an impossible line. They're hearing demands from Congress and from some users. We want more control of the privacy. Congress may be saying, or we're going to regulate that control. And Facebook having to accede in some ways to those demands, but truly understanding what Tim Wu and you and others who really are, who understand this, are saying. They can't, they really can't accede to all of the privacy that, and still continue the business model. Is that the fact?
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg has made statements in the past about how changes to Facebook's privacy model this year will probably affect their bottom line. But at the end of the day, Facebook is still obscenely profitable. And so, you know, it often feels like a question of whether Facebook wants to make, you know, millions of dollars or billions of dollars.
Right.
They're going to be fine either way. And so they're sort of trying to make small concessions while keeping the core of their business intact.
So, Haley, does Congress get that? And can Congress really do anything about that, given the power of the platform?
Well, you know, I think under the current regulation, Congress doesn't have a lot of latitude to change that. Although, you know, they could certainly introduce new legislation. There's certainly been a lot of privacy legislation discussed to make sure that people own their own data and can ask freely for, you know, their information to be taken away from companies, to be deleted from companies. You know, as to whether Congress gets it, I think, you know, that's a tougher one. But I think they understand what is upsetting people, and I think that they know how to present those concerns to the companies. Now, whether or not that can come to a resolution between them without the need for legislation, that's an entirely different question.
Haley, I think if I were reading between the lines of what you just said, is there's a lot of political theater to this. So Congress wants to be seen to be representing the concerns of users. But whether anything solid actually comes out of that, that's a question. Is that a fair paraphrase of what you said?
That's a very fair paraphrase of what I said. You know, I've been covering privacy issues for 7 years, and I've seen many, many bills get introduced and die in committee, and we've seen no meaningful change on privacy here in this country.
What would make the most meaningful change, just from your experience of having observed this legislation come up and then go nowhere? What would really make a difference?
I think letting people know what data comes, because part of this problem is that the genie's already out of the bottle, right? Mm-hmm. All of our information is already out there. And so I think making an effort to let people know what is out there and who has it would go a long way. And then allowing people to delete it, would be also fantastic.
So, Brian, why couldn't Facebook do that and still survive and still make their millions and maybe not their billions from that?
Sorry, what was the question?
Haley was saying that you could be more transparent about which advertisers have the data and then let people go in and delete that data. And that was some of the legislation that has come up and gone nowhere in Congress. What would be wrong with that? Why wouldn't Facebook go along with that?
I don't know why they wouldn't, because I think consumers have, by and large, shown themselves, not willing to handle their own privacy themselves. But I think on a technical level, that would be tough to do. A lot of this recent Cambridge Analytica scandal has focused on the fact that Facebook is trying to sort of put the toothpaste back in the tube. They let this data out there, and they don't really know where it went or who has it.
Yeah. I mean, when they found out about this, they took, as I understand this, Brian, they took Cambridge Analytica's word that that they would stop doing this. And apparently they never did. They could have demanded some kind of an audit or more assurances, couldn't they?
They could. But, I still don't actually know how, you know, this technical audit that Zuckerberg has talked about will actually work or what sort of assurances that will give them.
What the specifics of that are confusing?
Yeah. I mean, if I, you know, copy a file to a flash drive and give it to someone else, it's sort of in the wind. And I feel like, you know, the data that Cambridge Analytica had is sort of like that. You know, once it left Facebook system, it's difficult to track. It's difficult to know who copied it, who got a hold of it.
Juliet says on Twitter, I got rid of the app a long time ago and I log in with an email account I don't use and I changed my last name to two letters. Logging out and clearing the browser history to give them as little information as possible. I never trusted them, now even less. Therese says, my Facebook friends have automatically been inputted into my phone contacts. Hard not to be enmeshed. I regretfully have logged into so many places automatically. Ugh, she says, to Andrew in Fergus Falls. How do you handle this, Andrew?
Yeah, it's strange. I wanted to add to the conversation about things just being out there that I use Instagram. I actually quit Facebook going on like 6 years ago now, joined Instagram maybe 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And even though all of my Facebook, you know, they say when you quit, it'll be a year before you're completely deleted from Facebook's servers or whatever. And now in Instagram, when I look at my feed to this day, I still get updates like your friend on Facebook so-and-so is ready to be on Instagram, or this is your friend on Facebook, follow them on Instagram. And so it's kind of jarring to see these friends that were on this, you know, extensive friend list on Facebook who even at that time I wasn't really paying attention to, and here they're showing up kind of like ghosts
years
in my Instagram feed. Yeah.
What Haley, I mean, do you have an explanation for what's going on with that, or just some insight on it?
I mean, I don't have a good explanation. I think, you know, Facebook owns Instagram as well as WhatsApp, and I think a lot of people forget that. So, so that information is with the company. So, you know, it shouldn't still be making references to Facebook, as, you know, as I understand their policy, after the point where it should have been deleted. So I do find that a bit concerning.
Okay. So Brian, this is pretty important, I think, because I'm not on Facebook. I was on it briefly and then off of it because it was too time consuming. But I have considered going back on Instagram. But the danger of that now is that Facebook owns Instagram, and so they're also sucking up the data off of Instagram and doing with it whatever Facebook does. Is that the awareness I should have about that?
Yeah, I generally think you should treat them as one and the same. They are very closely linked, and Facebook has definitely linked the two different accounts.
Okay.
To you.
Question here from Chris in Minneapolis. Hi, Chris.
Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah, I guess my question, when you were discussing the business model that Facebook has and some of the considerations of just the size of their profits and the size of their user base when they're going before Congress, reminded me a lot of the trust buster in the early part of the 20th century, when I think it was his attorney general said something to the effect of, there's no stock ticker in the Justice Department. And I wonder how much that situation would remain the same today or has changed. And then I also had a consideration of whether Facebook might move to a paid subscription model where they wouldn't have users' data, and then that way they wouldn't be making money off of it, but perhaps paying for storage as an alternative, if that's maybe something they've explored.
Brian, what do you think of that?
If I recall correctly, Mark Zuckerberg gave an interview with Vox earlier this week where the paid subscription model was brought up, and Facebook's sort of stated mission is to get everybody online, and that includes people who can't necessarily pay for a subscription model. You know, they think that the free ad-supported business is what allows them to offer this to everyone. So I think internally they are sort of very against the subscription model idea, and I don't think they want to sort of divide their user base in that way.
If you just got into the show, we're asking questions of Brian Feldman from New York Magazine, where he covers technology, and Haley Tsukuyama from the Washington Post, where she covers consumer tech, about how Facebook is responding to these calls for additional regulation, whether Facebook is just kind of saying the right things, but what true change would mean for its model, and how they're gonna navigate this, right, as Mark Zuckerberg prepares to testify before Congress. Also welcoming your questions on this, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. From Twitter here, a listener says, I always understood that my data was being used for marketing. I understood that was the price of a free, quote-unquote, service. I never imagined that that data would be weaponized against me politically. I was naive. So, Haley, was that naive?
I think to say it was naive is, again, putting the fault onto people who, you know, have signed up for a service for free. They see their friends are on it. You know, I mean, is it naive? I guess it is a little bit naive, but I don't think that we should be blamed for it, for going into that relationship that way. You know, I think Facebook had a responsibility by saying, you know, give us this information and you know, we're going to keep it on the network. And, you know, they gave us some indication what they were doing. But I think, you know, they had a greater responsibility to make sure that people were following their rules and mm-hmm. to make sure that their rules were protecting their users.
Yeah. A phone call here from Asta in St. Paul. Hey, Asta, thanks so much for waiting.
Hi. Yeah, no problem. I guess my question is, and it is a little bit of devil's advocate, so I hope I don't upset anyone. But I suppose my question is, in this day and age where we ask for convenience and we want, like, I don't use Instagram because I don't have a need to, but mm-hmm. apparently other people enjoy it. But I do have a Facebook, and I just kind of understand that my information is getting mined, and I may not like that, but that may be a price to pay for convenience, for being able to have things tailored to us. So I guess part of my other question is, how much should we put in terms of responsibility on the user? Because just strictly saying, well, we depend on something like Facebook to not do this to us, seems not only counterproductive, but naive and a little bit more hopeful than we should be. And we should have probably expected this from previous corporations and entities already doing this to begin with. This happened long before Facebook started.
I'm really glad you called to ask. I think that is just the right question. So, Brian, how would you answer that?
I think, you know, that's a valid sentiment. I think this sort of reckoning for Facebook has been a long time coming. I don't think, you know, anyone who pays attention to this issue was surprised by it. And I think, you know, if users want to make that trade-off, they're entirely free to do so. But I think, you know, for a very long time, Facebook wasn't upfront with their users mm-hmm. about how their business model worked, you know, what data they were collecting and retaining, who had access to it. I think they were really squirrely about it. And, you know, if users want to make an informed decision, that's fine. But I don't think users were properly informed.
So, Haley, that's why you've come back a couple times in the conversation to say, I don't think we ought to blame users for it. I mean, Asta is saying, just be more realistic about what the trade-off here is. You're saying, well, Facebook wasn't very upfront about what you were actually trading in that trade-off. Is that right?
Yeah, no, I totally think so. I mean, certainly users have to take responsibility, you know, and I think from now on, people are going to be thinking a little bit harder about sort of what information they share. But yeah, I think companies have to promise to be good stewards of this data. They have to be really clear about what they're using it for. And they have to give people the option to say, you know what, I'm going to back away.
I want to ask you guys about the way Facebook encourages, you know, kind of high octane debate. And this brings us back into the whole fake news part of this. Is Facebook capable of turning down the volume, basically, on some of this content that it knows will provoke a response from users? I mean, are they able, Haley, to not amplify the stuff that gets everybody riled up and often goes into that umbrella of what we would call fake news? Can they do that? Should they do it?
So that gets into a really interesting area of sort of, you know, as a platform, how much do we want them to be regulating the speech of the people on the platform,
yeah,
right? Because I think cues that they can get from, you know, from a post are, oh, it's getting a lot of likes, or it's getting a lot of reactions, or it's generating a lot of comments, right? And, you know, that tells you that it's an active conversation, but it doesn't necessarily tell you what's being discussed.
Right.
You know, and then the question is, well, do we want them to know what's being discussed? Do we want them to step in? There are, I think that's a really, really tricky question. And there are a lot of places where, you know, ideologically, I think people come down on that question.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, Brian, one of the advantages of something like, you know, of Facebook saying, OK, we're going to exert, a little bit of control, right? Slippery slope. But because they would say, well, a lot of this stuff is just crap or it's fake news or it's not constructive. And that's not what our platform is about. What kinds of questions does that raise for you?
I'm not really sure what Facebook should do. It's clear that, you know, they've been using the wrong metrics for a while to sort of evaluate this. Things with a lot of likes and shares doesn't necessarily denote quality. And I think they've sort of tried to get a lot better at finding the right signals. The news feed is really, you know, not to use this phrase again, but a black box, and it's tough to analyze from the outside.
I'm not sure I heard the answer, though, to the question here. And maybe I'm just confused about what you're saying, that it would be we don't know how much power is within, you know, Facebook's control to do that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's not clear what Facebook can do to change user behavior on their platform.
Okay, let me take a call here from Chad in Minneapolis. Hi, Chad.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. What are you thinking about?
There was a post I saw last night on Facebook from one of my friends, and I actually have it pulled up in front of me so I can read it.
Okay.
Not word for word, but basically they have everybody labeled as either very liberal, liberal, moderate, conservative, or very conservative. And if you go into your settings, account settings, then ads, then your information, then your categories, and then U.S. politics. They have me labeled as a moderate. And I am a very conservative, but I would imagine this drives their ad towards me.
Okay.
Wanted to throw that out. I thought it was really interesting and pertinent to the conversation.
Haley, political affiliations, what gives with that?
Yeah. So certainly, yes. They take a look at who your friends are, sort of what kind of, you know, what they're posting. So that is definitely one of the ad signals that they give. And, you know, I mean, that is information you can find out, but I was just counting on my fingers. I think he said that was 7 settings deep, right? So that is a really long way for people to go try and figure out how they're being identified.
Now, do you expect, given what we started out talking about the settings too, that the settings are going to become more transparent, Haley? You know, in a way, I guess in a way that really makes a difference.
You know, I admit, again, looking at this company over the years, I'm a little skeptical that they're going to be able to find either that they're going to be able to find a model that works or that, you know, they're really committed to finding a model that works. Facebook is incredibly complicated, and so that is reflected in the complexity of this thing. But, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, it depends on if they change the way that they do business, then maybe the privacy settings can be both simple and effective. But I admit I'm a bit skeptical.
Brian, I've got about 45 seconds here. Will Zuckerberg allay most Americans and members of Congress's fears about this when he testifies, or is that kind of impossible?
I don't think he's going to allay many fears. Part of it is, again, the sort of, you know, impossible contradiction at the core of Facebook with regards to privacy. The other problem is that Zuckerberg isn't a particularly charismatic public speaker. And, you know, if Congress is, you know, a bit of showmanship, I'm not sure how well he's going to perform.
Yeah, that political theater that I was talking about. Mark Zuckerberg testifies on April 11th. Brian Haley, thank you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks
for having me.